Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He is one of the smartest legal minds in the state of Minnesota. We're glad to have him on board. He's a friend of mine, Kevin Burke, the former judge, first appointed to the bench in 1984, only stepped away last year due to retirement. He was also, for an extended stretch, the chief judge in Hennepin County. And Kevin Burke is with us. Always a pleasure, sir. We are awaiting closing arguments in the trial of Derek Chauvin. What stood out the most to you from the prosecution and the defense as they have now wrapped up?
I think both sides did a very good job of presenting their case. They're very good lawyers. For example, I think that Jerry Blackwell is clearly one of the best lawyers in Minnesota. I think Eric Nelson did a really good job. And I also think that you have to end up saying that Pete Cahill did a tremendous job because he never became the focus of the trial. And I think I've used this the last time where I was on with you, is you don't want the referee in a football game or a basketball game to be the lead story the next morning as somebody reports what happened in the game. So I think Pete did a very good job of keeping the case moving. And I think on balance, the objective of this community would be, could we give somebody like Derek Chauvin a fair trial? And I can't predict what the outcome will be, but I think that the overall thing is Derek Chauvin got a fair trial.
What convinces you most that Chauvin did receive that fair trial?
Well, I think that if you look at the diversity of the jury, the fact of the matter is there were people that were skeptical that you could find people that would give Derek Chauvin a fair trial. And, you know, on balance, the jury selection process went pretty good. So I think that's a big start. You know, there are frequently hiccups in trials in which there are claims, oh, this is terrible, you shouldn't have let this evidence in, you shouldn't have let that evidence out, or something like that. There really was minor amounts of stuff like that. So I think it's a fair trial.
So yesterday, Kevin, Judge Cahill was not pleased about what the state had regarding carbon monoxide in responding to Dr. Fowler. So when they brought up Dr. Tobin, Judge Cahill was very precise, very specific about what questions Jerry Blackwell could ask and not ask. And he said, if you venture down the wrong road, I'm going to declare a mistrial. As a judge, as someone who's been in similar shoes, how do you think that played out?
Well, I think that the context is, if you go back over the months, there were early fights about discovery. There were allegations by the defense that the state was slow in turning things over. And Judge Cahill essentially ruled mostly, I think entirely, for the state. Now, they're doing their best. They're turning the stuff over. There is no misconduct here. So I think that when it comes down to now, you started the trial, you have you prepare your opening statement, you prepare your whole presentation about, you know what the other side has. So when you end up in at a very, very late stage of the trial, somebody trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat, it's not atypical for a judge to say, no, we're not going to do that. Personally, I don't think that I would have had a fear that Jerry Blackwell would say, oh, well, I don't care what you said, Judge, I'm going to try it anyways. I don't think that's it, but you got to make it clear we're not going to go there. So that means you got to end up saying to the lawyers, you go tell these witnesses, do not volunteer this stuff. Don't suggest it's there. It's out. And in pretty stark terms. And then you don't have a problem.
When either you're watching live or you found out that Derek Chauvin, within his rights, obviously, was going to invoke his Fifth Amendment privilege and not testify, what was your reaction? And is it any different now?
It wasn't. I understand it. I think this is the way I would look at it is there is among us a skepticism, well, if you invoke the Fifth Amendment, you must be guilty. I think Trump even said that at one point.
Yes.
But the problem he with
may,
it,
he may that might be an interesting scenario for him in the next couple of years too.
Exactly. But the difficulty is the defense in a criminal case, any criminal case, not just this one, is to keep from the defense standpoint the jury thinking the defendant's presumed innocent. The state has to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. When you start having defendants testify, it's difficult to end up not getting into saying, who do you believe? Who do you believe is the civil standard? So if I sued you for breach of contract or something like that, and we both testified, the jury's going to have to listen to the two of us and decide, do I believe Chad or do I believe
sure.
Kevin? But a criminal case is different. So when you put the defendant on, it can have the tendency to reduce the burden of proof. It's going to give the state an opportunity to introduce a lot of stuff all over again. So we're going to hear the video, we're going to talk all kinds of other stuff. So what's the benefit? There's risk. There's a benefit, certainly, because you would address the why didn't they testify, but there are good reasons why many times defendants don't testify, principally being driven by, I don't want to unintentionally reduce the burden of proof.
If you're the judge, would you have said, let's go with closing statements today, as opposed to waiting till Monday?
No, I think that there's enough invested in the case to end up saying, now we finished the testimony and we got is to give the lawyers and the jury an opportunity to just refresh and then prepare their closing arguments. I don't see there's any value to not taking a couple days off.
Kevin Burke, our guest, first appointed as a judge in Hennepin County in 1984. Stepped away in 2020, 8 years as the chief judge. Okay, this is now as a judge and as a man who was a lawyer for a long time also. How often does it happen where jurors, yes, they're told to stay open-minded, but they're leaning one way and then the closing arguments ends up swaying them to have a different view and a different decision on a case?
I don't know any empirical studies that would indicate that. But people do get impressions. So let's just look at our normal life is you go to a Timberwolves game and you say, well, I hope they win, but we'll see what happens. And you're going to have kind of, oh, they're playing really good. They're not playing very good. You see a movie, you begin to end up making judgments. And then sometimes at the end, you end up saying, hey, that turned out better than I thought it was going to be. So I think that it is plausible that in cases, the case is ultimately won by the closing argument. But I think the idea, if you don't have a very good case, a good closing argument isn't going to save it.
I want to ask you about what's taking place here now with the charges with former Brooklyn Center police officer Kimberly Potter. She has been charged from Washington County Attorney Pete Orpett with second-degree manslaughter, and there are folks who are certainly sympathetic to Dante Wright and others who legally believe the charges should be stronger, and a lot of people are citing what happened with Mahabba Noor. As you look at this, as a former lawyer and a judge, does that seem the appropriate charge?
Well, if you look at the few cases nationally where this fact situation seems to have happened, that is, an officer grabbed the taser or grabbed the gun instead of the taser and shot, then this is the right charge. There was a case, I think, in Oakland on the BART where this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at that and you say that makes some sense. I think that if you're the Noor case was only affirmed on third-degree murder by a vote of 2-1, and the Supreme Court is reviewing that. So if you end up deciding to say, okay, I'm going to get more aggressive than the other cases of police officers thinking they had the taser but shooting somebody, and you go with third-degree murder, what happens if Noor gets reversed? Mm-hmm. Well, now you got to try this one over again. Or, worse yet, so I don't see the idea that, oh, I'm going to get really much more aggressive with third-degree murder. This kind of fits, at least based on the facts that I know. But I want to confess one other thing, that Pete Orpett appeared before me a lot when he was an assistant Hennepin County attorney. He is a pretty aggressive prosecutor, and I mean that in the appropriate way. He's no pushover. If you'll remember the Mr. Smith, the guy who shot the two kids in Little Falls,
Pete, for sure.
Personally, when he was the Washington County attorney, went and prosecuted that case. So I think that the community ought to look at this and say, he is a very aggressive, very skilled prosecutor, and I think that the charge largely makes sense.
You're great as always, Kevin. Go low this weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk next week.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Former Judge Kevin Burke here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.